Tani-san does some good without meaning to. One bright day, while wandering among the cake counters of the Tobu department store, Tani-san saw Death over by the cream puffs. Yet unlike most people, she made no attempt to avoid it, since as far as kicking the bucket was concerned, she'd already been there, done that, so she sneaked around the fruit flans and crept up behind it. When she tapped Death on the shoulder, it spun round. But before it could actually say anything, she reached out with one hand and gave the pale blue flesh around its waist a good squeeze. "Tumblubbery!" she called out in triumph.
"Don't do that,"
complained Death, knocking her hand away.
"It wasn't funny the first time. What do you want?"
"I was just about to ask you the same question," said Tani-san. "I assume that you're here to collect someone."
"I am," said the hooded Death Spirit,
or Shinigami as it was locally known.
"The financial advisor over there by the panda cookies. Oh, hell and damnation, he's gone now. Thank you very much."
"Can't you go after him?" asked Tani-san, gazing in the same direction.
"You obviously haven't seen the film Final Destination, because if you had, you would know that it doesn't work that way,"
said the Shinigami, who then took out a little black notebook containing that day's death list.
"No, I'll just have to move things round a bit and circle back to him."
"Well, why don't you swap that one there with that one there?" suggested Tani-san, pointing to another couple of names on the Wraith schedule. "I don't suppose anyone will care very much if one telemarketer gets moved up a couple of places."
"Do you mind?" said the Shinigami, snatching the book away.
"I'm only trying to help," said Tani-san.
"Huh," scoffed Death. "That's a first. Why are you bothering me anyway?"
"Oh, I don't know," shrugged Tani-san, casting a wistful glance at the confectionery counters. "Bit sad, I suppose. So many cakes and never enough tummy space. But then seeing you standing there like a gigantic crow took my mind off it and cheered me up a bit."
"Well," said Death, visibly taken aback, "it's the first time ever anyone said that to me."
"So where are we going now?" asked Tani-san.
"We are not going anywhere," said the Shinigami. "I have got a heart attack on the corner of Genkijo Dori and Tokiwa Street in 15 minutes.
"I'll keep you company then," said Tani-san, inviting herself along. So then the poor spectre, who couldn't think of a good enough excuse to put her off, reluctantly pulled its cowl around it, and together they began making their way towards the nearest exit. With the autumn leaves blowing around their ankles, they crossed over at the subway station and began threading their way through the back streets of Ikebukuro towards the Genkijo Dori. As they did so, Tani-san bombarded the Reaper with a lot of silly questions. "So, if you're a practicing Buddhist, can you come back as a skin fungus?" she asked as she trotted along beside it.
"No,"
said Death. "A bladder infection?"
"No,"
said Death. "Diarrhea?"
"No,"
said Death, finally losing its patience as they approached the scene of its next pickup.
"If you suffer the misfortune of being reincarnated as diarrhea, how are you supposed to achieve spiritual perfection?"
"But when I suggested the pencil sharpener, you said it had to be something organic."
"Yes, but I meant animal or human, not liquid feces. Where are you supposed to go from there? I don't even know why you're bugging me with these stupid questions in the first place," it said, turning to confront her. "None of this applies to you. What do you care?"
This led it on to the subject of Tani-san herself, who, having refused to go along with the universe on the grounds that she didn't approve of it, had ended up in a situation whereby none of the rules applied to her, including those of life and death. "Why did she have to be in its catchment area anyway?" grumbled the Shinigami. "Two houses down, and she would have been somebody else's problem." In fact, it was so busy whinging and whining and waving its arms about like a foreigner that it failed to notice what was going on behind its back. And of course, Tani-san, who could see what was happening, didn't tell it. Instead, she pretended to listen very nicely while watching with one eye as a distressed-looking salaryman crossed over from the other side of the street, stopped just behind the spectre and dropped his briefcase. Then, clutching at his chest, he fell to the ground, at which point several passers-by gathered round to help.
Yet the Shinigami saw none of this because it was too busy moaning about Tanisan. In fact, it only realised that something was amiss when the wail of an approaching ambulance siren caused it to turn round. But by then, of course, it was too late, because the paramedics already had the victim on a stretcher, the oxygen mask was on, and he was being whisked off to hospital.
"Oh, great," it said, turning back to Tanisan. "That's two I've missed again because of you."
At the end of what turned out to be a very difficult shift, it returned to the check-in desks at Heaven Terminal 3 to hand over the souls it had harvested that day, minus the two, of course. However, word had got out about its run-in with Tanisan that morning, and so all the other Shinigamis were stood about in small groups, sniggering about it. It could only hope that the bad news hadn't spread beyond the locker rooms. But then as it was heading over to dispatch to collect its list of pickups for the following day, it noticed that the door to the supervisor's office was wide open. Unfortunately, there was no other way of getting to where it wanted to go other than along that corridor, because there was work going on. So it tried to tiptoe past without being seen. But then just when it thought it had got away with it, a voice rang out from behind. "What happened today?" inquired the speaker. The hapless wraith stopped dead in its tracks and closed its eyes. Then, sighing heavily, it backtracked into the supervisor's office. It was a small, windowless space with a hat stand for a halo, a laptop, a filing cabinet, and a desk. The only remarkable thing about it, apart from the halo hat stand, that is, was that there was a dirty great angel called Azrael sat there, his huge, sooty wings rising from his shoulder blades like the logo of an airline courier service. "You do realise," he said, "that because you missed two of your pickups this morning, a Malaysian investment banker will receive some very bad advice, the Chinese will gain an additional foothold in the waterproof garment industry, and a brand new type of blobfish-flavoured instant noodle will hit the supermarket shelves early in the new year. When you miss your appointments, there are serious consequences. I've told you about this before."
"Yes, I'm very sorry, sir," said the spectre, wringing its hands, "but it wasn't my fault. It was her again. She put me off."
"That's no excuse," said the stern-faced archangel. "She's not just your problem, you know. We're all suffering. I'm seeing a therapist once a week. St. Peter's on tablets. Even the boss has had a go at trying to sort her out," he added with an upward glance, "but with as much luck as the rest of us, unfortunately. So he's had one of his rethinks and decided that the best thing to do is to turn her peculiar talents to our advantage."
"Sounds like a shifting of the goalposts to me," muttered Death. "Are you sure we're not treading on somebody else's toes?" it inquired, making a big show of looking down towards the hot place.
"I'll pretend I didn't hear that," said its seraphic supervisor. "In any event, she's been officially reclassified as an asset."
"An asset?" echoed Death incredulously. "At the risk of suddenly finding myself posted to a place where the skulls of the damned are repurposed for tiddlywinks, by what specious line of reasoning does anyone arrive at that conclusion, may I ask? Including the Almighty?"
"It's complicated," said Azrael. "You have to understand the big picture. There are so many groups out there conspiring to control things, from the one-world global elites to the Order of the Tufted Titmouse. But having Tanisan in place ensures that the world remains fundamentally ungovernable. And if it comes down to a choice between one of that lot being in charge and no one at all, well, I know which I'd prefer."
"That's all very well, sir," said Death, "but it's me that has to contend with her on a regular basis."
"Well, can't you just avoid her?" asked the angel as he reached into a drawer for a packet of aspirin. "In a catchment area of over 300,000 souls, it can't be all that difficult, surely."
"But you don't understand," said the spectre. "She creeps up on me when I'm not looking."
"So what? You're Death, aren't you?" said the irritated seraph as he poured himself a measure of sparkling Eden mineral water. "You're supposed to be the scary one, so start acting like it." Not long after that, the poor beleaguered ghoul happened to find itself at Ikebukuro Hospital on a weekday afternoon. It was there for a lady called Mrs. Matsumoto, who at 119 years old was taking the mickey, frankly. Now fading fast, she was in a quiet side room with her family around her,
and it was Death's last pickup of the day before its shift ended at 6. With just a few more minutes to go, it had decided to give the relatives one last chance to say their goodbyes. So while it was waiting for them to do so, it wandered over to the other side of the corridor, unobserved by mortal man. Or so it thought. Yet no sooner had it looked in on the patients in the ward opposite than it felt a light tap on the shoulder, so it turned round. "Tumblubbery!" exclaimed Tanisan, pinching the excess flesh around its waist. "Ha! Got you again!"
"Will you stop doing that?" barked the startled wraith, pushing her hand away. "What does it even mean?"
By an odd coincidence, Tanisan was there to visit her mother, Tanisan Senior, who was basically malingering. Yet in spite of her being not ill at all, she had everyone running around after her. None more so than her own daughter, who was being sent out at regular intervals to get sweets, cakes, gossip magazines, lavender-scented soap, gel-filled kneecap warmers, and packets of chocolate crumbles. "Can I ask you one question?" said Tanisan. "Are you here for my mother? Because if you are, I have to tell you that I have mixed feelings. Also," she went on without even waiting for an answer, "if all the Shinigamis decided to go on strike at the same time, which country would be the first to get overcrowded? And do you do requests?" It was actually 4 questions. Just then, the clock above the nurse's workstation clicked over to 6 p.m.
"Oh, no, 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 not again," moaned the Reaper, rushing back to the room on the other side of the corridor. "What are you doing to me?"
But it was too late. Not only was the Mickey-taking centenarian not on the point of passing, but she was actually up and about. In fact, she was dancing around her hospital bed with her great-granddaughter, while her own daughter, expecting to inherit, had fainted away with the sheer shock of it. Her husband was trying to revive her as she lay on the floor. For the poor Shinigami, it was the last straw. So when it returned to the Heavenly Realms that afternoon, it went straight to the supervisor's office.
"That's it," it said. "I can't do this anymore."
The Archangel Azrael, who at the time was doing a Sudoku hidden behind a 50-page policy document, took off his glasses and quietly folded the paper over. "What do you mean?" he said. So then the unhappy death spirit began to pace back and forth.
"It's just not fair," it moaned. "Why is it always my numbers that are down because of her? And why is it always me that has to suffer the indignity of having those pasty-faced idiots laugh about it in the locker room? Let one of them step up to the plate for a change."
"Look," said the soft, soaping seraph, as he gathered in his great wings, "we've been through all this before. You're one of my best operatives, you know that. But you also know how thinly spread we are at the moment, with all these wars and pandemics, not to mention the Kawano sisters."
"What about the Kawano sisters?" asked Death.
"I said not to mention the Kawano sisters. The point I'm trying to make is that there's not enough latitude in the system for me to be able to redeploy you at the present moment in time. But don't worry, you're at the very top of my list. As soon as a spot comes up, I'll see you right." At this, the unhappy wraith stopped pacing and leant across the supervisor's desk.
"You said all that before," it answered. "I'm not asking this time. I'm telling."
"I beg your pardon," said the seraph.
"You're going to take me off Ikebukuro and send me somewhere nice. Okinawa, perhaps, or the Bahamas."
"Oh, yes," said Azrael with a sardonic nod of the head. "And what makes you think that's going to happen?"
"Because if it doesn't, Tanisan might just find out how she's being used to maintain a state of ungovernability, and I can't honestly say how she'll react. Knowing her, she's likely to start behaving in a completely different way, just to mess up all of your nice plans, which would be a pity when you put so much effort into them. And of course, when the boss finds out how she got to know about it in the first place, well, he won't be best pleased, let's put it that way."
"That's blackmail," said Azrael, his feathers ruffling.
"Yes," reflected the spectre, which seemed very pleased with itself. "I suppose it is."
As a result, the devious death spirit was immediately transferred to a salubrious area of Kyoto, where a vacancy had just come up. How convenient. It was a much more prestigious appointment than downtown Ikebukuro, with better hours, and its first pickup of its first day was to be a famous film director by the name of Michio Mazaki, who was location hunting for a death scene in his latest film. According to that day's list, Mizaki would be visiting the Nanzenji Temple during the morning, where ironically he was due to drop dead from an aneurysm at 11:27 while taking photographs of the weeping willows. So, with it being a new start, the Reaper arrived there nice and early, full of hopes and dreams for a brighter future. What it did not know, what it could not have foreseen in its most nightmarish imaginings, was that Tanisan would also be in town that morning. She'd arrived in Kyoto the day before to open the new robotics division of Tanisan Industries, which continued to go from strength to strength in spite of her many and varied attempts to sabotage it on the grounds that it was far too successful for its own good. However, instead of heading straight back to Tokyo after the event, she decided to stay on for an extra day or two to see the sights. Imagine then the Shinigami's absolute astonishment when, just as it was about to step out of the shadows to keep its appointment with the illustrious filmmaker, she came sweeping in from nowhere and proceeded to tell this Mazaki character why she didn't like his films and where he was going wrong. So then the wretched wraith had to back off to make sure that Tanisan didn't see it and blow the whole arrangement. As the 11:27 deadline came and went, it decided to cut its losses and reschedule the celebrated film director. After that, it made its way across town to a busy crossing on the Shijodori to pick up a university student who was due to be hit by a bus in 3/4 of an hour's time. This, in turn, would precipitate that most fortuitous of things, a 5-car pile-up, increasing the number of casualties by 350%, if you included the half-wit on the bicycle. At 12:13, the pale young woman, who was supposed to cause this pile-up, came walking round the corner, texting on her phone.
"They never learn," thought the hooded spectre. "Thank heavens for social media."
But then, just as she was about to step out into the traffic, who should appear again but Tanisan, also peering at the screen of her smartphone. She was studying a street map of the city centre, trying to find a certain cake shop. But then, for reasons best known to herself, she suddenly stopped right in the middle of the pavement, forcing all the other pedestrians, including the young woman, to walk around her. And in the time it took the student to do that, the bus that should have turned her into 49 kilograms of tomato compote went sailing by.
"Unbloody believable," muttered the Shinigami. "What is this?"
Refusing to be beaten, the now twice thwarted wraith rescheduled the student to come after the previously rescheduled film director and went straight on to its third pickup, a 49-year-old bank employee who was supposed to choke on a salted pickle during his lunch break. This was expected to take place at a small restaurant in the Kawaramachi Garden Food Hall at 102. So the Shinigami waited outside the entrance for him. Shortly afterwards, Death spotted the bank clerk as he approached the food hall from the north side of the Shinjo-dori intersection. But then, just as it was about to follow him through the doors, who should come walking up the street in the opposite direction but Tanisan again?
"Damn it," he muttered to himself. "How is this happening?"
Torn between carrying on with its mission and aborting for a third time, the harried spirit cast about. It then happened to notice a market researcher in a tabard and baseball cap, stood to one side of the food hall entrance with a clipboard and pen, asking people questions as they went in. It then realised that there must be a second survey taker, possibly at lunch, for another cap and tunic were draped over the back of the chair behind him. So, with admirable presence of mind, the Shinigami crept over, grabbed the two items and put them on, pulling the brim of the baseball cap down over its eyes. Then it seized the spare clipboard that was lying nearby and marched straight up to Tanisan as she approached the food hall from the west side.
Excuse me, madam, it said. I wonder if I might ask you a few questions.
Tanisan's reaction was somewhat akin to that of Count Dracula having a crucifix waved about in his face by Abraham Van Helsing, for she averted her eyes with a look of horror and backed away. "Di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di," she went, waving one hand from side to side. Then, to the Shinigami's immense relief, she did an immediate about-face, as if to go back the way she'd come. Having satisfied itself that it had finally managed to shake her off, Death removed the sundry accoutrements of the professional data-gatherer, straightened its cowl, and was just about to follow its next victim through the entrance when it felt another light tap on the shoulder, so it turned round. "Tumblubbery!" exclaimed Tanisan, who had only been pretending.